The Bible is largely about failure and defeat. Its stories and letters and teachings record ways people have lived with defeat. This makes the Bible difficult for us to understand, for we as a people have run and swatted and laughed our way past learning the language of failure. We don't admit to it, we won't accept it, we don't countenance it. So sermons, this one and others, which are fumbling footnotes to the scripture, hit us from the side if they hit us at all. Yet, by grace, it is the resurrected Christ who addresses us in the preaching of the church, in the announcement of the gospel. The passages of the gospel allow us safe passage to the gospel because Jesus is present to us. In all the sayings of Jesus which were reported, he speaks who is recognized in faith and worship as Messiah and Lord, and who, as the proclamation makes known his works and hands on his sayings, is actually present for the church. Rudolf Bultmann. Our blind beggar, Bartimaeus, shouts out an unexpected name tag for Jesus, Son of David. To call Jesus such is to remember failure, to remember difficulty, to remember warnings unheeded from long ago. To remember David, you have to remember Saul, and to remember Saul, you have to remember Samuel. Bartimaeus calls Jesus by the name of David, David, the personification of hope, of millennial portent, of the chance to get things right. Son of David! And he throws off his garment, maybe a sign of a baptismal teaching here. And he comes naked to see if there is another chance for him. Here is another of Mark's book of secret epiphanies. His faith has made him well. Your faith has made you well. A saying and a truth most precious to Martin Luther, whose Reformation we remember today. Luther, who forever splintered the unity of the church into pieces, fragments, for the sake of the truth of the gospel. Faith, he wrote, is God's work in us that changes us and gives us new birth from God. It kills the old Adam and makes us completely different people. It changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our powers. It brings the Holy Spirit with us. Yes, it is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, this faith. Our gospel, the gospel according to St. Mark, seldom uses the title Son of David, only three times, in order that Jesus not be mistaken for the hoped-for national Messiah, not be mistaken for the hoped-for political conqueror, not be mistaken for the hoped-for restorer of Israel. Jesus has his signature. Jesus is known by the cross. Jesus wears the clothing of failure and defeat, as does the Bible in general. But the name of David also carries the reminder with Samuel of surprise, of second chance, of another chance, of a day of new beginnings. You remember Samuel's story in 1 Samuel 15, read a moment ago. Samuel didn't want to be a prophet, but he got saddled with the job anyway. Samuel didn't want anything to do with kings, but he had to pick one. The people wanted a king. Just like we at our worst always long for some imperial president, some imperious presence on which or on whom we may cast our concerns, then we don't have to live quite as closely with our own freedom, our own birthright from Yahweh, I am that I am, the Sinai God of freedom. We are free. Though often we choose to misuse or underuse our liberty. Samuel revered the God of freedom and the godly freedom in each person, in you. In fact, he revered the people's freedom more than they themselves did. So much so that he helped them choose, even when he knew they chose an error. So you want a king? Well, I'm going to get you a king, and you are going to have a king, and with your king, you're going to get a whole basket of trouble. So, Saul, whose middle name was Trouble. Saul, trouble came and went. In one sense, leadership, as we heard last Sunday, is everything. Leadership is everything. But leadership is not dictatorship. Authority is not domination. Integrity is not willfulness. Leadership, authority, integrity, they become real when they revere the God of freedom and the freedom of each person. Real leadership increases personal freedom for all. So, Samuel, who knew about freedom and leadership and who could have shouted, I told you so, to the children of Israel. Instead, after Saul went to Ramah, that place you remember from Christmas, a place of wailing and of loud lamentation, and he wailed, we can suppose, and he lamented, why, O God, have you made my people a group focused on difference and not the common good? Why, O God, have you made of us a community where there would be so few rich, so many poor? Why should our distinguishing characteristics be so undistinguished? Dear Lord, are we ever and forever to love appearance above reality, image above heart? And, oh my God, are we never to see your peace upon the earth, your gracious splendor among your people, your kingdom of love? So we may imagine in a hot, dusty cave near Qumran, Samuel wept and he wept. He cried in his beer and he cried in his soup, and you get the picture, until at last he stopped. And as so often happens, once he stopped his weeping, his self-concern, a marvelous thing happened. God gave another chance. He said, Samuel, you old codger, get up. Head over to Bethlehem and see Jesse. I'm going to give you another chance. And so off Samuel went to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. We worship a God of second chances, of new starts, of make-up exams, of I forgive you, of surprise opportunities. In a way, in Christ, God has simply become another chance. Right here, early on Sunday morning, we pray before worship. We wonder about the congregation and the community near and far. We think of you. We think of people, some giving birth and anxious, some breaking up and anxious, some struggling to stay together and anxious, some aging and anxious, some ill and anxious. Like dear Samuel in Ramah, We have our hurts. Up Samuel goes to see what God will do. And God tells him that there will be a new king of God's own choosing out of the family of Jesse, who had 7 sons. Samuel sees the first son and thinks, this must be the one. He's got the right name. He's got the right place, right pedigree, right education. But again, something else strange happens. And Samuel, given to hearing voices, hears this voice. God says, easy, 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 big fellow, easy. Don't look at the appearance. Forget the outside. Don't be misled by the image. Look inside. All that glitters is not gold. Don't judge a book by its cover. One can be a saint at home and a devil abroad. Cleanse the inside of the cup. We see the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, Samuel still has the 7 sons on interview. Job title, King of Israel. Profile, perfect leader. Responsibilities, bring salvation, justice, and peace. Salary and benefits, commensurate with experience. But he remembers, he looks on the heart. Eliab? No. Abinadab? No. Shammah? No. And so on, 7 such no's. And so he stands in between. It's tough to live in between. Like many who are here today can testify, it's tough to live in between. Samuel would have loved to settle things early, but he remembered the God of another chance, and he trusted, and he waited, and he hoped. Anybody can make a flip decision, but it takes a depth of courage sometimes to be indecisive. Anybody can decide in a moment. It takes guts to wait things through. And anybody can judge by appearance, by beauty, stature, but God looks on the heart. And so the early Christians, Mark, Paul of 2 Corinthians, knew this better perhaps than anything else. That is, they knew about being in between. Maybe that's why providentially their letters and writings have become our Bible, for we're always a bit in between, and we need the confidence daily of another chance. These earliest Christians, Paul's urban Christians, Mark's Roman community, were very much in between. They were often what the sociologists call status inconsistent, like Paul himself. A Roman citizen, a Jew, educated, a tent maker, and so were they. Women, yet rich, artisans, yet slaves. They knew about being in between. They know about being in between the body and the Lord, between sight and faith, between home and away, between judgment and love, between crazy and sane, between one and all, between self and others, between death and resurrection, between old and new, between appearance and heart. When you're in between, especially when you're in between, you can know the power. Hear the good news of another chance. God sees the heart and sees past appearance, the heart of a people or a nation or a person. Well, dear old Samuel is about ready to throw in the towel. He's been through all the sons of Jesse, all 7, has not found the new king. He's found a lot of old king once removed, but nothing new. He's packing up his ephod and girding his loins and otherwise getting ready to shove off when again something strange happens. We worship the God of the second chance. If nothing else this morning, hear the gospel. Today is another chance for your family. This week is another chance in your work. This fall is another chance for your church. This year is another chance for your city. This decade is another chance for your country. Where there is life, there is hope. God in Christ is another chance. Realism and idealism are not alternatives. In one sense, either you have them both or you have neither. Isaiah 60, John 3, 2 Corinthians, the Sermon on the Mount. There is still time. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in another chance, God's only Son, our Lord. Another chance to stand in God's presence, to learn to help others, to find a meaningful life. And meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, Samuel turned as he was going and he looked at Jesse and he said, are these all your sons? And Jesse got that sheepish look we all get when the truth starts to come out. Well, yes and no. I mean, these are all the grown ones, the ones who are worth looking at. You mean there's another chance? Said Samuel, so excited he dropped his staff and ungirded his loins and lost his ephod. Well, I mean, there's the little guy. We left him to tend the sheep. Bring him. Bring him. And they brought David up, and he was little and young and ruddy and handsome and beautiful, but mostly he had the right heart, a heart of songs and courage, a heart of love and strength. A real human being. Another chance. Like the Tibetan Buddhists hunting for 3 years in the outback of the universe to find the Dalai Lama. Like the birth of Jesus also in Bethlehem. Like the moment your own child came into the world. Like every single outburst and outcropping and intrusion and explosion and invasion of the new creation. There was David. Another chance. And Samuel, old superannuated Samuel, could see what none of the young Turks could see. The heart. And Samuel wept, this time for joy, and said, this is the one. You bring him. It is that David, son of David, to whom Bartimaeus cries out, wondering, hoping, longing that for him there will be another chance. We worship the second chance God. Beloved, you are not a last chance anxious people. You are God's people. And so Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, praising the Christ of another chance, nothing that is worth doing can be fully achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or good or beautiful makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. Hear the gospel of the Son of David.